So I want to go back to what Cricket was saying. The week before Easter, the week leading up to Easter, he mentioned this morning, we hear the phrase a lot of times, the calm before the storm, and we always think negative when we hear that, you know. Everything gets quiet, everything's still, and then something bad happens. But, you know, there are also times whenever there's a quiet before events that happen that can change everything in a positive way in our lives. So really quick, if we can, tonight, I just want to give a quick synopsis of what did happen the week before Easter, because some of you may know every detail that happened every day, and then some of you may not. So we're going to go through that real quick. A Sunday, Palm Sunday, was the triumphant entrance by Jesus. But let's go to Monday. Monday, he leaves Bethany. He curses the fig tree. He weeps over Jerusalem. He cleanses the temple. And he spends the night in Bethany. On Tuesday, he leaves Bethany, finds the fig tree withered, possesses the temple, pronounces woes over his enemies on his way back to Bethany. Judas bargains with the Sanhedrin to betray Jesus, and he spends the night in Bethany. On Wednesday, also called in some places the Silent Day, there's really not many records in the gospel much, but there is a lot of activity, and Jesus prepares that day for the Last Supper. Also, Judas plans with the Sanhedrin to have Jesus arrested. And the remains of the day is spent in the night. He spends the night in Bethany. On Thursday, Peter and John are sent to make preparations for the Passover meal. After the sun sets, he has the meal with the 12 disciples and washes the disciples. And Judas departs. The Garden of Gethsemane and Jesus' agony and the betrayal by Judas, arrested by the Sanhedrin, and the Sanhedrin convinced Peter, and Peter betrays Jesus. So each day, that's just a quick synopsis, a breakdown that they give you, if you look, of what each day is. Now what I want to do, as he spoke about a few of those things this morning, the week leading up to Easter, I just want to go into three other points about the week before Easter, because it's like we were talking about this morning. Before the greatest event that changed everything for us sitting here, like in our lives now, there are things that lead up to major turning points in our life. And oftentimes we can only look back in retrospect and see those things that happen. So what I want to do is I want to talk about one thing. First is the significance of Bethany. If you look at every one of those days that I mentioned, until he's taken, it says he leaves for Bethany. And he returns to Bethany. And he leaves for Bethany and he returns to Bethany. And the significance of Bethany is it's about 2 miles from Jerusalem on the southeast slope of the Mount of Olives. It's the home of Lazarus and his sisters Mary and Martha. It's where Jesus will spend his final weeks of his life on earth. And by all indications, it's a place where Jesus feels at home. He begins his day and he ends his day. And as we see every day in the weeks leading up to the crucifixion of Jesus, he spends every day differently. There are different days. There are those days that he gets to spend with his disciples. There are those days that he gets to minister. There are those days that he's betrayed. There are different things happening during each one of those days, just like in our lives. Every single day can pose a different set of circumstances and a different set of challenges and great things in our life. But it's where you begin your day and where you end your day. And I just want to challenge you to think about that for a minute. Where do we begin our day and end our day? Most of it's in our home with our families. And the significance of that and this is just, this is the place that you go and you begin your day and you end your day. And, you know, we always say begin your day wherever you are, praying, hearing from God, and end your day the same way. And as you go, and I've found as you go throughout your week, that makes those trials and those things that pop up that can sometimes be so heavy so much easier. But also, as you begin your day and you end your day in a place, also protect that place. And we've known and we have seen in years and Easter's past, and Cricket and I have mentioned the week of Easter, sometimes these battles can pop up because the enemy is fighting what God it is that God wants to do. So really this week, as so many of you here tonight are really involved with what's going on at Easter, I just encourage you in that place, just like Bethany is for Jesus, where he begins and he ends his day, where you begin and you end your day, just really this week and every week, but this week especially, just focus and pray and really just ask God what he's trying to do in this week coming up and just for protection and provision in this week, because protect that place where you begin and you end your day. protect your home, protect your families, and you do that by the blood and the word of Jesus. So as I looked at that, and as I was looking at the week, I just saw that, and God just showed me that as a significant thing. He just really said, I began my day here and I ended my day here, the last week of his life here on earth. Also, I want to look at, the second point I want to look at is, let's look at Wednesday, the silent day. And there are so many, as I was looking at Wednesday, which is often called the silent day, there were so many different things on that Wednesday. For some, that was Ash Wednesday. Some people call it Holy Wednesday. Some people call it the Spy Wednesday. And so as I was looking at that, if we could pull up Matthew 26, 20 through 30. And, you know, this is where I was talking about earlier as I was reading. It said there were not many records, but this was a very busy day. If you remember, this is the day that Jesus was preparing for the Last Supper. So he spent much of that day preparing. And while he was doing that over here, preparing for the Last Supper, Judas was over here with his Sanhedrin preparing to betray Jesus. So Matthew 26, 20 through 30 says, when evening had come, he sat down with his 12. Now, as they were eating, he said, assuredly, I say to you, one of you will betray me. And they were exceedingly sorrowful, and each of them began to say to him, Lord, is it I? He answered and said, he who dipped his hand with me in the dish will betray me. The Son of Man indeed goes just as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been good for that man if he had not been born. Then Judas, who was betraying him, answered and said, Rabbi, is it I? And he said to him, you have said it. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed it, broke it, and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. Then he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink it, all of you. For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day in which I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. And so looking at that, you know, we see this Wednesday, this silent Wednesday, where Jesus took the majority of the day preparing for this Last Supper. And I just thought about that. I thought, you know, as I was thinking and praying and preparing for this, I thought, you know, Jesus took all of this time preparing for what would be the last meal with his 12 disciples, the people he loved. And I thought about in church so many times, it's so important, this preparation time to have as we prepare to have those who come in, those who are regularly with us, but also those who are visiting. That preparation time is so important. It says there was not a lot recorded, but there was a lot going on. And so as we get ready, and a lot of times we just think it's work during this time, but what we're really doing is we're preparing. And Jesus took the time to prepare for those 12. And just how important it is as we prepare for those that God will bring in. And so can we also look at John 13, 21 through 30. Well, it says John. Did I give you Luke? I'm sorry, I may have sent Luke. I have on here John 13, 21 through 30. I may have wrote the wrong name, sorry. But as we look at that, I had mentioned earlier that some refer to it as Holy Wednesday, talking about the preparation of the Last Supper and the preparation of the time with his disciples. And then as I was researching and looking, there are some cultures in some countries that call it Spy Wednesday, and they're referring to the side of Wednesday that refers to the betrayal of Jesus by Judas and what he did in his treachery on that day. And so John 13, okay, here we go. When Jesus had said these things, he was troubled in his spirit and testified and said, most assuredly, I say to you, one of you will betray me. Then the disciples looked at one another, perplexed about whom he spoke. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples who Jesus loved. Simon Peter, therefore, motioned to him to ask him, who was it of whom he spoke? Then leaning back on Jesus' breast, he said to him, Lord, who is it? Jesus answered, it is he to whom I shall give this piece of bread when I have dipped it. And having dipped it in the bread, he gave it to Judas, son of Simon. Now after the piece of bread, Satan entered him, and Jesus said unto him, what you do, do quickly. But no one at the table knew what reason he had said this to him. For some thought, because Judas had the money box, and Jesus had said this to him, buy those things we need for the feast, and that he should give him something for the poor. Having received a piece of bread, and then he went out immediately, and it was night. Okay, can we go back to the John 13:27? And I found this so interesting because how many times do we see this? It says, now, after the piece of bread, Satan entered him. Then Jesus said to him, what you do, do quickly. In the next scripture. But no one at the table knew for what reason he said this to him. See, it was Jesus knew and Judas knew, but no one else knew. It's like the exchange of when you say, you know, and I know. But nobody else knows what's going on. How many times in life do we see that between people? Or we know relationships in our life or situations in our life where we say, you know, and I know, but they don't know. Okay, and then verse John 13:29. It says, for some thought, because Judas had the money box, that Jesus had said to him, buy those things we need for the feast, and that he should give them something to the poor. And the next one. Having received a piece of bread, he then went immediately out, and it was night. Okay, see, the disciples there thought this was the reason. They thought that they had discussed it, and this was what, since he was in control of the money box, that he was obviously going to prepare for the poor and do things for the poor. So what the disciples believed was going on was not what was going on. And so many times, as we prepare for different things in our life, as we're coming up on Easter and as we come up on any time in our life, we have to remember we don't always know what's going on. We don't always know every situation. We don't want to be quick to judge any situation. Because just like here, and this is a great example, where Jesus and Judas had this exchange of no one said anything. It wasn't a really loud exchange, but it was a you know and I know. And they had no idea. And I think it's a good example of the way we see Jesus all throughout the Bible. As Cricket was saying this morning, the different pictures and the different images of Jesus. You know, you have meek, you have the consoling or the loving Jesus with the tears. You have the, what did Cricket call it? The ultimate fighting Jesus. You have all the different ways that we see Jesus. But here is such a great depiction of how he was across the board in every way that he was. He did not stand up and point his finger or say, you, this is, and he could have, this is what you're going to do, because he was asked by every disciple, is it me? But he did not. He just said, you know, and I know. They don't need to know. And that's just an amazing picture of how he works. And it was like Cricket was saying this morning, he always gives every single one of us a chance to get it right, because we've all at times gotten it so wrong. And I also want to hear the third point, and it kind of leads into that, is, and it's where Cricket, we will pick up on Sunday morning for Easter, but I want to end with tonight at the Garden of Gethsemane. And that was on Thursday. I believe it was Thursday. Yes. Thursday at the Garden of Gethsemane. Can we pull up Matthew 26:36-46? And in this, we see, you know, Jesus knows what's about to take place. He knows what's about to happen, and he's entering this garden. And so Matthew 26:36, and we'll go through 46, it says, then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane and said to the disciples, sit here while I go and pray over there. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. Then he said to them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me. He went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed and said, "Oh, my Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as your will." Then he came to the disciples and found them sleeping and said to Peter, "What, could you not watch with me for 1 hour? Watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Again, a second time, he went away and prayed, saying, "Oh, Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me, unless I drink it, your will be done." And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. So he left them and went away again and prayed for a third time, saying the same words. Then he came to his disciples and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand." And as I was looking at that, and as we close out tonight, you know, there are three things that I had wrote down here in those verses. And, you know, as he enters in, he says first, "Sit here while I go and I pray," to the disciples. And then he took Peter, and it said the two sons, those were James and John. And as he went the next step further in, it says he took those three and became anguished and distressed. He said, "My soul is crushed with grief to the point of death, but stay here and keep watch with me." And he went a little bit further. So he went with all, he took three, and then he went on his own. And he went a little bit further. He prayed this. He prayed the same prayer that he prayed when he first entered with them all and he went to pray. He prayed, and I believe that was the scripture about, "Let this cup pass from me." Is that 23 or 24? He prayed that prayer, and he said, again, he said, "Oh, my Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me, unless I drink it, your will be done." See, he prayed the same prayer three times as he entered in deeper and deeper and deeper. As he went in with all, he took the three, and then he walked alone. He prayed the same prayer three times. How many times in our life do we pray the same prayer three times? Or four times, or five times? And on the last time he prayed that prayer and they were asleep, he knew. He got up, he went to them, and he said, "It's time to go. My betrayer is at hand." Because at the end of the three, he knew. See, he entered this knowing what the will of God was, knowing why he was here, knowing what his purpose would be. How many times do we know the will of God in our life? We know what it is. And as we're walking in that will, and especially when it's a hard thing that we have to do, how many times, just like in the garden when the enemy was whispering, how many times when it is so hard does the enemy come in even behind us and make it harder and harder and harder? And that weight, he said, "My soul is crushed with grief to the point of death." It was the hardest thing he could bear. And he asked God, he said, again, a second time, he went and prayed, "Oh, my Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me unless I drink it, your will be done." He was asking him. He said, "God, please, God, please, God." But he knew. See, by the third time, he knew. And I believe he walked out of that garden knowing and was ready to go and was at peace. He told him, he said, "Get up and let's all go." He knew the betrayal was there, and he knew what God's will was for him, and that will had not changed. And God's will for your life, through the trials, through the good times, through the hard times, his will for your life and his destiny for your life has not changed at all. And the destiny for your life, the greatest purpose for your life, is to glorify God in some way. And everyone's way to glorify God is different. His will has not changed for you. No matter what you're going through, what you've been through, or what you will go through, God's will never change for you. It never changed for Jesus, and it's never going to change for you. The destiny of God will never change for you. And so as we go into this service on Easter, I want us to just pray this week if we can. Like I said, most of you in here I know are serving in some area this Easter. But as we pray, I just ask that as we go this week, we just pray for the destiny, the purpose, and the will for those who are going to come into this service, for them to find that in their life. Because I know this, a lot of people in this community, in this area, and in families have heard about Jesus, but I don't really know how many, none of us do, how many have experienced Jesus in the way that some of us have had the opportunity to experience Jesus. And so if you will this week, I just ask that you pray with us this week as we go forward to just, for those who come in, find their purpose, find their destiny, or at least begin to find that road to a purpose and a destiny in the will of God for their life. Of course, first, to have those who come in who don't know Jesus and who need to accept Jesus into their heart and forgive their sin, that is the most important thing. But secondly, for those who have, maybe those who have and then have gone away for a while, to come back to Jesus and to say, I recommit, I rededicate my life. And not only do I rededicate my life, but I want your purpose and your will for my life, because I want to continue on with this. We want people to be able to find the next level of what God has for them. Because I know and I truly believe that in this place, in this atmosphere, in this environment that we will have here on Easter Sunday, that they will have an opportunity to find something in Jesus that they have not seen before. And I know as we go forward and we pray, and as you all pray, that's what we want for those who come into this house. So if we could just bow our heads, we will end a few minutes early tonight, but I just want to take a minute to pray. God, we just pray over this week leading up to Easter, God. We ask for your protection, your provision for all of those, Lord, who are involved in working in this service, God, this week. As they go forward in their lives, we just ask for your hedge of protection around their lives. Lord, as they go forward in their families' lives, God, we just ask that those that you bring in, God, that you will do a supernatural work to change something inside of them, God. That they won't just come here to know who you are, but they'll come here to experience who you are, God. That they will have a change in their heart and a change in their life that will change them, and they won't be able to walk back to where they were, but they will find a new purpose and a new destiny in their life, God. I just pray over and ask that you use every person in this room and every person that is working Sunday, God, to reach and touch those who walk through these doors, God, to reach and touch the heart of someone who walks in here, that they cannot walk out changed because of the people that you have put in this room to change their life, God. We know that every person in this room, God, has a destiny, a purpose, and a calling. We ask that you use their purpose, God, you use their calling this Easter to reach those that need you, God. Everyone can reach someone different, and we just ask that you reach every person that walks into this building, God. And we believe by faith and know that they will experience you in this service like they have never experienced you before, that they will find a new freedom, a new passion for the things of God. They will find a destiny and a purpose here and a future to go into your kingdom, God. We just want to thank you, Lord, for everything that you've done in our life, God. For every Easter, for every family, for everything, God, that you have done for us, everything that you have forgiven us for, God. We want to thank you for sending your Son to die for our sins, God. We know without that, without him, God, we would be nothing. And we just want to praise you and to thank you for everything that you have done for us, God. We do everything here for you, Lord, for your glory and only for you, God. And we ask that Sunday, when those people walk through this door, God, that they experience and see only you, God. In Jesus' name.